Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 once again. We'll begin reading at verse 12. Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 12. Let's ask God's blessing before we read. Father in heaven, help us to receive your word as it truly is, the very word of God to us, not the word of men, but your word, authoritative for our lives, powerful for our salvation. We pray that you'd use it in our lives and write it upon our hearts. Sanctify us by your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll read verses 12 through 22, and we'll be focusing on 19 through 22 tonight. Paul writes, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Have you ever accidentally started a fire? Maybe one that got a little out of control. Maybe in your kitchen, maybe in a frying pan, or in your backyard, maybe in your grill or fire pit. Maybe you were burning leaves. Maybe on a camping trip, a camping fire. And the first thing that happens when you realize you've got a problem and that fire is getting out of control, you think, "I got to get something to douse these flames. I got to put this fire out before it spreads." Start scrambling around looking for water or something to cover it up, dirt, a blanket. You want to extinguish those flames as quickly as possible. But there is one fire that should not be extinguished, and that is the fire of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pictured in different images in the Bible. It's pictured at times as a wind. It's pictured as a dove. He's pictured as something that is poured out and fills us. And he's pictured as a sign and seal that marks us as God's people. And he's pictured as a gift, right? A gift from God. A gift, and this gift of the Spirit, He Himself gives gifts to us. He gives us spiritual gifts as God's people, and to all God's people. One of the most striking images of the Spirit, I think, is this image of fire. Remember the scene from Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And what a scene that was. A sound like a mighty wind filled the house where the disciples were meeting, and they saw fire, tongues of fire that came to rest on each of them. I always remember that little illustration in my children's story Bible. Tongues of fire on the heads of all the disciples. They were filled with the Spirit. And they began to speak in other languages. And Paul also wrote to Timothy, instructing him about the Holy Spirit. And he used this image again. He said to Timothy, "Kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you." I believe he's referring to the Spirit of God there. If you're a believer in Christ, you need to do that very thing as well. You have the Holy Spirit from the moment you first believed in Christ. You have the Spirit indwelling you. That fire is in you. It's burning. But Paul says, stoke it, stir it up, fan it into flame, fuel it to get it burning higher, hotter, brighter. The Holy Spirit has a very vital role to play in our lives as believers. We can't even possibly overstate it. Those tongues of fire represented the power of God coming into that community of believers in Jerusalem in a new way. And in the same way, the Spirit has come into our lives as believers. He's invaded our lives for our good and for our usefulness in His kingdom. And now His presence empowers us to live new lives, lives of faith and obedience, and in His service. But we have a responsibility to make sure that this fire is not doused in our lives. And so Paul says here in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. And of course, to quench something is to snuff it out, to extinguish it. If you quench your thirst, you're sort of putting out that fire. You're satisfying your thirst so that you're no longer thirsty. But we're not to do that with this fire of the Holy Spirit. We're not to extinguish this fire or stifle it or dampen it. Just the opposite. We're to kindle it afresh, stir it up, make it burn even more. But Paul's telling us that we can, in fact, quench this fire of the Spirit in our lives. This is a reality. This is a danger that we need to avoid. We can quench the Spirit. We can also grieve the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 4:30, Paul says, do not grieve the Spirit. I think that verse, these are very related ideas, but That verse is stressing to us that the Spirit of God is not an it. He's not an impersonal force or power. He is a person. He's the third person of the blessed Holy Trinity. He is God. And when you quench that fire that He's working to kindle in your soul, in your life, not only is His work stifled, but He experiences real grief, sorrow, profound emotional sorrow. That's something for us to really take to heart. Well, what is this work that the Spirit of God wants to do in us? And it's represented in this image of fire burning. Well, He wants to make us like Jesus. We know that's the the main thing that the Spirit of God is doing in us. He's changing us into the likeness of Christ. He's making us more like Him. He's making us holy. He's causing us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's where He's taking us. We're not even close to that yet, but that's where we're going. He wants us to be pleasing to the Father in every way. And He's moving us in that direction, moving us toward that goal. He's purifying us. Maybe that's the best image of what the Spirit is doing with this fire. He's refining us. And as you grow in grace, you come to resemble the Savior more and more. As the Spirit bears His fruit in your life. Your holiness, your character, Christ-like character growing in it, that is the fruit of the Spirit being worked in your life. And this will go on as a process until He finally brings you all the way to the end of that process in glory, glorification. That's the goal. And that lifelong process is the Spirit's work of sanctification. He's purging, He's purifying you and me from sin. He's renewing us in the image of Christ. And this is the Spirit's work. This is only something that God's Spirit can do. You and I cannot do it on our own. This is not a human work. We can't get there by science or nutrition or medicine. We can have a lot of improvement in our physical lifestyles and emotional well-being by things like that. But this work of becoming like Christ is the work of the Spirit. It's God's divine purpose, and it's His Spirit who causes it to be. He brings His power to bear in our lives. Divine power is what accomplishes this. Let's think about some of the things that the Spirit does and think in terms of this image of the Spirit as a fire. For one thing, He gives light. Fire gives light, and the Holy Spirit gives light. Spiritual light. By nature, we are sinners. We are lost in the darkness of sin. And the Lord is working a change in that. He is taking us out of the kingdom of darkness, and He brings us into His kingdom of light. And more, all the days of our lives, He is making us people of the light. We need to be changed by the light of His Word. John 1 says of Jesus, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Jesus is called the light of the world. And the salvation that He accomplished brings that spiritual light into our lives and those of all who trust in Him. And when Christ's saving work on earth was finished, He ascended to the Father, and the Spirit was sent into the world to continue this light-giving work, bringing light internally to all believers. He writes God's Word on our hearts. The light of truth is internalized. God puts His own life in the Spirit and light in us. The Spirit and the Word go hand in hand. The same Spirit who inspired the Scriptures also illuminates the Scriptures to us. Again, he writes the word on our hearts. He is indwelling us, and then the word comes to us and he enables us to grasp it. He makes it a part of us, enables us to respond to it, enables us to love it, to receive it, to embrace it, to want to obey it. That would be impossible without the Spirit, the light-giving work of the Spirit. Psalm 19 says the Word of God transforms the whole person. The Psalm says it in such beautiful ways. It makes the simple wise. It rejoices the heart. The Word enlightens the eyes. It's given to us for these things, to bring light to our hearts and minds. It's given to teach us, to correct us, to instruct us, to train us in righteousness, so that we'll be equipped for every good work. We need the light of God's Word. And without the Spirit, that Word would not find a place in us. It's a glorious work that God's Spirit performs in us together with God's Word. Again, Paul is saying here that we can hinder that work of the Spirit. We can quench it. After commanding them not to quench the Spirit, Paul says, I think here he begins to flesh out how we can quench the Spirit. He says in verses 20 and 21, "Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good." In the early days of the church, the written word of God was not completed yet. It was still being inspired and written down. The New Testament was not yet completed. And now that it is, we don't have ongoing new revelation from God being delivered through the apostles and prophets like was the case back then in the earliest days of the church in the age of the apostles. But God does still speak in a very real sense today through His written word. Again, He's making it alive by His Spirit to us as we take it in, as it's read, as it's preached, as it's taught, as it's received by us. God still works by His Spirit, empowering those efforts to expound the Word and to bring it to bear in our hearts and on the hearts and lives of God's people. We need to think about these questions, though. Are we quenching that work of the Spirit in our lives? And I think in the context here, Paul seems to be saying that that has to do with how, at least for one part, it has to do with our attitude toward God's Word and how we receive it. Are we eager to read God's Word? Are we eager to take it in, to learn it, to obey it, to believe it? Does it give us joy to believe the promises of God and the wonderful things that God makes known about Himself to us? Do I eat it up like it's my food and like it's the best thing in life? Do I listen carefully to the preaching and teaching of God's Word? Does it mean something to me like that? Are you listening with the intention of obeying what God's Word says to you? If not, you may well be quenching the Spirit of God. You need to humbly come to the Word of God and receive the Word of God. Hear it with faith receive it gladly. God's Spirit is dealing with you through His Word. He's dealing with you in a very personal way. This is a very wonderful thing. I pray that you realize that. He is teaching you. He is your teacher. God's Spirit within you. He is the one forming you. He is the one purifying you. Moment by moment. Day by day. Sunday by Sunday. Do take that to heart. Don't just be a casual diner on God's Word. Don't just be a casual listener to the preaching of God's Word. Realize it is God's Word that you're receiving. Don't think of it as man's Word. Just some thoughts of men or some opinions of a preacher. And don't just think that it doesn't apply to you. Don't come with that attitude. Or you will be dousing the Spirit's fire. It's for you. God is dealing with you. God is meeting with you. He wants to work in your life and draw you nearer to the Father. Don't throw a wet blanket on the enlightening, purifying work of God's Spirit that He's seeking to accomplish in you. Question 160 of our larger catechism asks, what is required of those who hear the word preached? And the answer, it is required of those who hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, with preparation and prayer. Examine what they hear in the Scriptures. Receive the truth with faith and love and meekness and readiness of mind. Receive it as the Word of God. Meditate on it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth its fruit in their lives. Does that describe you? Is that how you want to receive God's Word? Do you listen to the preached Word with diligence? Or is it not really worth much effort to you? Are you faithful in attending worship? One way or another, in our day, you know. The Spirit of God is dealing with us, especially in that context of public worship. He meets with us. He's there to do business with our souls. He's working. He's bringing light, changing us, purifying us, blessing us, making us a blessing to others. Are you trying to get all you can out of that glorious meeting, that glorious working of God's Holy Spirit in your life? What about preparation to receive God's Word? How about preparation for worship? Do you pray before you come to worship? I would ask, will you pray Saturday evening, Sunday morning? Ask God to prepare your heart. Do you do that? Do you ask Him to prepare your heart? Do you ask Him to prepare the preacher and help the preacher to proclaim Christ? Do you ask Him to help all of God's people to receive the Word and to profit from it? Now, if not, don't be surprised if your heart feels cold, if you don't feel very warm toward worship and toward the preaching of God's word and the reading of it. You can place the blame on others. You can blame the pastor for not hitting a home run. But maybe your spirit isn't warmed the way it should be by preparation. That's one way that we can quench the Spirit's fire, by not coming to worship prepared and prayerful. What about your general attitude toward the Word of God? Have you determined in your mind that you're going to take in God's Word and you're going to come to it humbly and receive it, like Paul says, as it is, the very Word of God, as God's authoritative message for your life? Do you receive it that way, as your one authority for your faith and practice? Do you receive it in faith and trust and with love and with meekness? Meekness. We should be meek before God's word in the way we receive it. We certainly shouldn't be sitting in judgment on it. We should let it judge us. Do you meditate on what you've heard? You keep thinking on it, chew on it, hide it in your heart, memorize it. What about responding to the conviction that God's Spirit brings to your conscience through the Word? This is a working of God's Spirit. He brings conviction of sin. And that is a wonderful thing. That is a gift. Pray that God would bring you conviction of sin. Your sinful nature doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to receive that kind of conviction. But we need it. And we need to submit to that conviction of the Spirit so that we repent and we seek God's forgiveness as often as possible, as often as we need to. And we need to often, very often, we need to seek His forgiveness promptly and sincerely. Now, we could go on and have an endless list of the ways that we can quench the Spirit, snuff out the Spirit's fire. Let me just mention two general ways that we may do this. The Spirit of God wants to draw us as God's people into closer and closer communion with God. It's one thing the Spirit is doing. He makes us cry out, Abba, Father. He brings us into fellowship with the Father. And He wants us to draw nearer into God's presence always. And He's working in our lives to bring that about. He wants us to come to our Heavenly Father with complete trust and confidence in Him, without fear, with delight in His love for us, with confidence in His care for us. Like little children run with full confidence into their parents' arms. The Spirit is warming our hearts to the Father that way. Again, He's doing that through His Word. But He's also warming our hearts to our fellow believers, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to not only have fellowship with God, but genuine fellowship with our brothers and sisters. He wants us to be drawing near to them for warm fellowship. He wants us to be loving our brothers and sisters in Christ and seeking to bless them and build them up. That's what all the gifts of the Spirit are for, aren't they? Not for our own use, for our own good, for our own pleasure, but for the building up of the body of Christ. Your gifts are for others. Good. Well, anything that keeps you and me from enjoying that close fellowship, communion with God, and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that thing is evil. And I think Paul addresses it in verse 22 very clearly. He says, abstain from every form of evil. These are just big general statements. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form of evil will quench the Spirit in your life. So you need to abstain from any sin in your life. Any sin that is unrepented of will cause your heart to grow cold toward God and His people. That sin is harming you. It's harming your spiritual life. It's dimming your light. It's cooling off the warmth of your spirit. It's quenching the Spirit's work. That's why Scripture is so clear that we need to put our remaining sin to death. There's a sinful pattern in your life that is being allowed by you to go on and on. You need to break with it. You need to seek God's forgiveness and seek His grace to turn from it, to kill it before it kills you. The only alternative is to go on quenching the fire of the Spirit and grieving Him and weakening your spiritual life and thereby weakening the church and its fellowship. People, God's Spirit is doing an amazing work in His people, a very great and glorious work. He's illuminating God's Word. He's bringing light to your life. He's drawing you into a close and ever closer relationship with God and with God's people. He's seeking to bless you and build you up and make you a blessing to others. And this only scratches the surface of what God's Spirit is doing in our lives. But you will stifle His work if you don't work with Him, if you're working against His will in any area of your life. Instead of working against His will, you need to repent of those areas of sin. And you need to begin to work with Him. Draw near to God. You need to walk in the Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians 5:25. And walking in the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, simply means to be walking in the path of obedience to God's Word. They're the same. And in order to walk in obedience, you need the Spirit. You cannot walk in obedience to God without God's Spirit and His power. You need Him to control your whole being. And He wants to control you. He wants to fill you. He wants to strengthen you to enable you to walk in that path of obedience. The question is, are you on board with that? Do you want that? Believers in Christ do. So ask Him for that. Ask Him to fill you and to control you. Ask His forgiveness for quenching His Spirit and for grieving Him. Ask Him to control you in a new way, all your thoughts, words, and deeds. He will help you. He will help you to walk with Him. May God give us grace to not quench His Spirit, but instead to fan it into flame so that it burns brighter and brighter and hotter for God's glory and for all our good. Let's pray. Father, we need Your Spirit. We need Your Spirit so much. We would be completely lost without Your blessed Holy Spirit. He is our help against all our enemies. The power of sin and Satan, the power of Your Spirit is our help. And Lord, help us not to grieve or quench Your Spirit. Forgive us for doing so. Forgive us for being thoughtless about how our sin grieves You, Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that You would cause the Spirit to operate with all power in our lives and change us and do all Your holy will in our lives and in the lives of all Your people. We pray that He would move us closer and closer to You and closer to one another in the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.